Yes.
Howdy, howdy.
Welcome to
But It Was Aliens,
the extraterrestrial comedy podcast brought to you by two of the most wanted former MIBs in the known universe. Each week, we bring you a case from a secret location known as Extraterrestrial Towers. Each case brings you closer to the all-knowing truth about the extraterrestrial. I'm your host this week, leader of the street grannies, Granny Moonwalker.
Our Lord and Saviour.
And sitting opposite me is the bearded one, sitting at 125,000 foot tall.
It's back.
Yes, sitting. He uses multiple trucks under each foot as roller skates. They say the aliens built the pyramids, but I say it was just Kev playing with Lego. The Great Wall of China was Kev trying to build a train track before becoming bored. Probers, please welcome Kevin the Grey.
I have
the least enthusiastic welcome. One person.
Yay, that one. If we are both recording in the same room, extraterrestrial towers, if I'm that big, how do you fit in?
It's like the TARDIS.
Are you in a cheek?
Again.
What's like the TARDIS?
Extraterrestrial towers.
Oh, thank gosh.
Could fit a bust in here.
Most wanted by who, I ask, by who?
Everybody and nobody.
Mainly the nobody, but also everybody.
At the same time. Today, we're heading to Canada.
Canada!
Hey, buddy.
It's the 2nd of September.
I'm sorry. I think you had a friend who also had a Canadian friend. We both knew the same Canadian. What's that about? I think I turned Scouse Canadian there. Is that a thing? Anyway, this Canadian loved South Park, but used to find the aboot, the really offensive. Everything else, all the other mockeries, he was absolutely fine with. If you did it to me, it's fine, but he used to lose his shit if you said aboot. Don't know why. What's that aboot?
Every Canadian that I have met and or have had an interaction with has been awesome. Can you remember a certain wedding we went to?
I can for certain
the
reasons.
My family were Canadian.
Ah.
Absolutely lovely.
Yes, the flying rap event.
Yes, the flying rap event. Flying rap event of 2016.
That was a UAP. Although we did identify it from the source.
I never witnessed it.
I did. I saw it in slow motion coming across and hitting her. Anyway.
I just saw the aftermath.
No one's going to have any idea what we're talking about apart from me and you. I don't even know if anyone else there saw that in all its glory other than, well, mainly me.
The mother did.
That's a hell of a shot.
Because she then asked if we were causing trouble.
Well, I definitely wasn't.
Neither was I.
I think you'll find that rap was aimed for you.
I don't think it was.
No, it wasn't. No.
We were just sat down.
Having a friendly chat.
Right, back on topic. It's September 2nd, 1987. Kevin was in a great mood. He was hyped.
Me or person we're covering today?
Person we're covering today.
Okay.
Kevin owned a motorcycle.
Definitely not me.
And this bike was loaded up because he was going moose hunting for 3 days. This trip was to take place between Sheldon Lake and Mac Pass. I thought something was missing there.
That sounds almost Scottish, doesn't it? Mac Pass.
During those 3 days, Kevin was going to stay at Dewhurst Creek in a private trailer. A few of Keb's mates were also going to join him at some point during this trip, and they were going to go fishing. A packed, fun 3 days for Kevin.
That sounds like a great trip, except for the hunting, the fishing, and the motorbike.
Absolutely. Picture of a pig there for you.
Is that a moose?
It's a moose.
I mean, obviously it's a moose. I don't know why I'm asking that, really. The antlers are very, very telltale. But the face. They look different face on. I guess I've only ever seen them from the side. It's like he's... I don't know if it's just the angle, but this moose looks like it's got a ball sack hanging from its chin. I guess that's just the angle and the colour of the fur, is it not?
Yeah.
Or does he actually... Is that where they keep their balls?
There is something else in that picture that I have only just noticed and never noticed it when I put the picture
in. Oh, no. The moose has an erection. I hadn't noticed it until you said there's something, and immediately my eyes were drawn to the penis. This moose is aroused. Thank you for making me see the first moose penis I've ever seen in my life, Mr. Moonwalker. It's a special moment today.
That is purely coincidental. I was like, I just need a picture of a moose.
You've made me see a moose's balls and penis. Excellent.
Moose dick. As Kevin left, the temperature began to drop, and shortly after that, it began to rain a little. The rain then started to turn into a downpour. So Kev decided he was going to stop at a place called Gravel Creek.
Check out the Gravel Creek.
Kevin was soaked to the bone. So Kevin had a friend who owned a cabin nearby. So he decided he would head there and change his clothes and switch to something more appropriate for the weather.
More appropriate? Kevin.
More appropriate.
Kevin's got a lot of friends.
Kevin has got a lot
of friends. Kevin is popular, as are all Kevins. The world loves a Kevin, in fact. And Kevin was also prepared, had a change of clothes on his person, assuming this was a he. Then you aren't going to throw that Kevin is a lady at me at a later point?
Nope.
You can trust. I'm feeling honourable and trustworthy here. That I feel like Kevin is someone we can really get behind as a people. We should make Kevin our leader. Can you ride moose?
I don't know.
I really thought you were going to say you can ride anything if you're keen enough.
I was about to say, but I'd like to, but I'm not sure I would now.
Can imagine me a bit vicious. Like, what are those things called? Buck and Bronco.
I saw a video the other day, actually, of two moose.
Is that where you took that photo earlier?
No. They were having a fight, and it was by someone's truck, and the truck just got demolished. I was like, fuck.
They're
hell.
Big old things, aren't they?
They are powerful beasts.
So can you ride them?
Probably.
Whee!
I would like you to try and then let me know.
I'm busy that day.
Once Kevin had changed and finally got to his destination, he was exhausted. So he made himself something to eat and went to sleep.
Kevin is also a skilled chef, I see.
Yep. Once he awoke the following day, the rain had stopped, but it was still damp and wet. He collected his things and set off for a day's hunt. As he was riding down the road, an uneasy feeling suddenly came over him. The environment wasn't new to Kev, so it wasn't a case of being in an unfamiliar environment. As he continued, he would look towards the trees and believed that he saw something, some kind of presence amongst them. Although he saw something, he couldn't make anything out and couldn't see anything moving, so he decided to stop and pull over so he could take a piss.
Classy.
He took a few steps towards some foliage, whipped out his little todger
himself,
and as he pulled his pickle out, he noticed something moving in front of him. As he focused on what the object was, he thought it was a low-flying plane.
You can't back this segment up with any evidence. I have it on good authority that he was hung like a moose. That's why he was exhausted from walking, because it's hard to carry that thing that far.
Was it pink like the moose's?
Depends how happy he was.
The more he looked at it, the harder it got.
No stage fright. Kevin was a confident lover.
But the more he looked at it, he noticed that it didn't have any wings or propellers. And it was also only around 30 odd meters above the ground. But what was creepy was that this object was silent. This was amazing to Kevin. So he whipped his little todger away and ran to get his camera from his bike.
Unnecessary.
But once he'd got the camera, what's unnecessary? Getting a camera.
No,
to document this thing. What, putting it away? You'd rather he just ran with it out. I'm pretty sure that's more inappropriate.
It's hard to put it away when it's so large.
I understand your predicament. Once he'd got the camera, for some reason, he didn't take a photo. He couldn't even explain why he didn't. He describes the craft as a green cigar shape with sections of grey which separated the top and the bottom. The craft then disappeared and then came back into his view. It appeared to be more solid to him this time round, and he thought to himself,
I don't think I should be seeing this.
So he squatted down to try and hide whilst keeping an eye on the object. He then decided to creep back towards his bike. As he was slowly crawling towards his bike, he heard a loud metallic thud behind him.
Firstly, Kevin doesn't sound like that. I've heard it on good authority. They had a really deep, booming, commanding voice. Yet also reasonable and calm.
I don't think I should be sounding. I don't think I should be seeing this.
Still not quite or, there.
How about you give us an impression of how this Kevin should sound?
I don't think I've got the vocal range. See, I could do it, but if I did, you'd get so excited and calm at the same time. That wouldn't be fair to you. You'd be too conflicted, so I can't do it.
How about you just give it a try?
No, I'm busy.
I don't think I should be sounding like this.
Weirdly, I was thinking of the exact same voice. Like, you know, what's it called? The Bill Murray's Christmas Carol, Scrooged.
I was about to say the Muppet.
No, well, Scrooged. Where it's got that guy in it who's also in Police Academy.
My mum's name's Sugar!
Yeah, that's the voice that came to my head. The most beautiful voice in all the world.
I don't think I'll be seeing this.
That's so deep and calming. I feel so calm.
Right, so green cigar, it came more into view. By that, do you mean it got closer or do you mean it was kind of faded when he first saw it?
I do not know.
Do we know how far away it was?
No.
Okay, because at first I was thinking, like, is this a remote-controlled UAP kind of thing, but with no propellers and whatnot, as you said, which would probably have been too advanced for this time period, which would have been interesting, but not massive. But then you said it was green cigar, so then you're going traditional kind of UFO. You're thinking, okay, this thing's bloody huge. How far away? Is it, like, way in the distance? We need some details. Are we going to get those details?
We have a picture that was drawn by Kevin.
How?
And before you have a look, I'm just going to reiterate, it does look like a Kevin drawing.
Oh no. The most powerful art in the world is what you're saying.
Yeah!
Oh, that's beautiful. I was just going to query one more factor before we move on. Metallic thud. Are we talking huge thud with accompanying explosion or literally a little ding?
Moloch in the middle!
Okay, I'm checking out. This is probably still better than what I could do. I don't really understand it, having said that. It's almost like I'm looking inside. So we've got a wall.
Yeah. Sorry.
This is the window I looked out of.
Scratch that.
You just showed me the wrong artwork. Yep. I think I see where this case is going.
I think I can see the future.
Kevin shit his pants and legged it. He ran into the road, hoping to see another vehicle or person. As he ran around the bend, he didn't come face to face with a vehicle or person. He came face to face with two. Not one, Kevin. But two.
Two what?
Grey Ooh. Beings.
Ooh, the greys are back.
The beings stood firm in front of him. Dressed with a skin-tight blue jumpsuit, their arms, legs, and torsos are described as being thin, and they have insect-shaped heads and pointy faces.
Insect-shaped?
Kevin believes that these were grasshopper people.
Giant Jiminy Cricket perverts!
Giant Jiminy Cricket pervert motherfuckers.
But grey and not green.
Yeah.
Grey grasshoppers.
Okay. I mean, I think you can get grey grasshoppers, depending on where in the world they are. They kind of, I think they go from grey to brown to green.
As they get older.
Probably.
Stand up nice and green.
Is this a Pokemon?
And they go brown. But look at green.
Is this a Pokemon? No.
I gotta catch more.
Cypher?
I think it's just I just typed in grasshopper people, and this is what I got.
That definitely is going to be a Pokemon if it's not already.
I think it's from Ben 10.
Possibly a Pokemon then. Did you know in Ben 10 there is a character called Kevin 11?
Is there really?
Yeah, it's Kevin 11.
Amazing.
And he catches them all. That Kevin is also honourable and trustworthy with a beautiful voice and should be a leader. I can imagine him doing the president's speech.
Well, thank you for going Gary here today, people. I don't know, I'm going to say but thanks.
One of the beings raised their hand and grabbed an item which was at their waist. To Kevin, it looked like a flashlight. The being pointed it at Kevin, and before he knew it, a bright beam hit him. He wasn't knocked from his feet.
Because he's tough.
He wasn't pierced and he wasn't burnt. What did happen to Kevin is that he was pulled from reality.
Ooh.
Where he was, it was completely silent. He says that there was nothing in this space but him. He tried to call out to somebody, anybody, but nothing left his mouth.
Oh, that's emotional.
It was complete silence. It was pitch black and not like the Vin Diesel film. He couldn't move any part of his body. And then out of nowhere, he experienced the sensation of shooting upwards.
Every time you say that, I'm looking for Randy Orton in the research notes. Watch out, watch out, watch out!
And I deliberately didn't put one in. Or did I?
You probably did.
As the darkness left and the ability to move returned, he looked around and realised he was stood on the opposite side of the road. He looked and could see his bike in plain sight, but the grasshopper people, they were gone.
Hopped off.
It would appear to be later in the day too, indicated by the longer shadows of the trees.
Meeting time, baby!
That's what Kevin the Honourable said.
I don't know where time gone.
Panic started to set in, so Kevin hopped on his bike, and the keys that had been left in the ignition were no longer there. He started to panic and become flustered, but soon realised that the keys were being gripped forcefully in the palm of his hand. About to shit himself, Kevin started up his bike and got the fuck out of there.
So, he got zapped off into a different reality. Did he fall into like the back rooms or something they're called?
Do you reckon that is the epitome of ecstasy? Getting zapped off.
I don't know about ecstasy. Maybe LSD?
Be like, zap. And then you just like in a room.
So when you said that the ray hit him, I thought he was going to get sucked off into a ship, but he's actually, the ray has hit him and he's just vanished from reality into a different reality.
He's just, there is nothing but him.
He's zapped. Annoyingly, because I feel like this is one of those cases that's not going to have much evidence to it. If further dimensions do exist, that might be a more realistic way that abductions could happen.
Zapped them into one dimension and then just pick them up from that dimension once they're on their ship.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Or just zap straight into the ship that's already there, but in a different dimension that we can't perceive.
Yeah, good point. So in that case, would you say that we would only see darkness, or we wouldn't be able to perceive anything inside the ship?
Well, I don't know. I guess it depends on how it works. It might be that we can't perceive anything because we just don't have the sensors for that dimension. Or are they using some sort of technology that does pull us into theirs? I'm getting way out of the realms of provable science here. I like Fringe to think that you science. Stay in your own dimension. Things are just happening to you. Wait, why are my pants around my ankles?
Oh, hello.
Could the grasshoppers talk? How do they communicate? I mean, grasshoppers kind of, don't they rub their legs together and click? Is this what these?
Is it like a, I suppose we hear the click.
Like crickets.
But is that not like a vibration? The byproduct of the vibrations between the legs.
Maybe these grasshoppers communicate in the same way because they're so much bigger, their voice is much clearer and they can actually make words with the higher range of movement they can achieve, more surface area to rub. So when they rub, they could, for example, sound like,
well, hello there.
So you're saying they have vocal cords?
Not vocal cords. Just
they use their body to mimic sounds that they've heard.
They use their body to communicate in the way that their species has evolved. So they've basically, think of a guitar or a violin or something, string instrument. You can make lots of different sounds by the area that you rub it, basically.
The area you rub,
I've chosen the wrong words there.
I just let you carry on.
But so depending on where they rub themselves off, it can make different sounds and to us would mimic voices, but to them it's what they've developed to communicate.
So for us to be able to hear the words that they are saying, they would have had to have heard those before to know what...
But I'm not saying they're speaking our language, it just sounds like it.
Oh, so that's just a
coincidence.
Well, hello there, how you doing?
When he got back to where he was staying, Kevin made himself a vanilla latte. Accounting for the missing time, little Kev assumed that he must have passed out or something, as he has no memory of the day except for what happened in that instance.
I could go for a latte.
Vanilla?
Always. Unless it's Christmas, then it might be gingerbread.
Both disgusting. Kevin sat there contemplating and drinking his coffee before he was interrupted by a soft humming sound, shortly followed by a vibration in everything around him.
It's the grasshoppers communicating.
This occurrence would last for around 10 minutes. Kevin believed that what or whoever those beings were that he hopped into earlier were outside, and he damn sure wasn't going out there or even peeking. He planned to stay where he was until daylight, so he got up and double-checked that the doors were locked. Not wanting to fall asleep, he sat there trying to remain awake and alert. During this time, Kevin would start having flashbacks about what occurred earlier.
Ooh, so maybe our dreams connect our experiences to other dimensions. So whilst our conscious mind can't perceive what's going on in those dimensions, maybe this is what happens when people get itches. Like if you've got an itchy leg, It's because in another dimension, some little devil jester is poking you with a stick.
So, for the possible 10 hours a day that you scratch your nuts are being played with by a little devil jester in another universe.
Well, not mine specifically. I query...
You just have itchy nuts then.
I don't think I've ever spent that long scratching my nuts. I wonder how many people listening to this who have nuts are now getting itchy nuts because we're talking about itchy nuts. Scratch your nuts, people. It's okay. We won't time it. Oh, that's too long.
It's that little dimension demon.
So, the grasshoppers came back, or is it that they never left because they're there, just in that different dimension? So he's thinking about checking the doors are locked and whatnot. Doesn't matter, they're already with you.
Are they there at all?
If a tree falls and no one is around, does it make a sound?
Yes.
If a tree falls in space, does it make a sound?
Does it fall into anything?
It wouldn't matter if space is a vacuum. Yes.
I mean, it would.
But would it? I've yes. broken Granville.
It would.
There's no sound in space.
Is there no sound in space?
Well, though? That's actually an interesting thought, because how the hell do we detect, like, pulsars, black holes, spinning stars? Oh, is it that there's no audio sound wave sound, but there are light beams and whatnot?
Is it a case of...
gamma rays.
So we say there's no sound in a vacuum.
Because it gets sucked off.
Yeah, looking at it at that point, is it just a case of the sound is so quick before it's removed?
No, it's because there's nothing there for the sound to travel along, so it doesn't make a sound to begin with because everything's already been sucked off. If you were to create a vacuum as the sound was playing, then there'd probably be a going down the plug hole.
What if we just don't have the audible tools to hear that?
But in another dimension, the grasshoppers...
You would hear it.
We're getting way off track here.
So the timeline to the events would look like this. To start, he was in a dreamlike state, looking down from above the trees, almost like he was floating. Following this was an experience of opening his eyes and only seeing darkness. As the darkness would move away, the face of a strange creature would come into frame. This is where he would discover that the blackness was the eye of the strange being. A voice would begin speaking to him, telling him that everything was going to be all right.
It's gonna be all right.
And that he had nothing to worry about.
You don't even worry about.
As he looked around the room, he would notice several greys. These were very different to the grasshopper people he saw previously.
This ain't Huggins Part 2, is it?
Kevin sat upright and wasn't impeded by the beings. He would then ask,
"Are you going to do experiments on me?"
To which, telepathically, he was informed that they had already been done.
Done the experiments.
The being in front of him would then ask him if he would like to see the planet Earth from where he was. Kevin agreed and started walking towards a window-like screen. All the while, he was rubbing his hands in slight discomfort. Not from anxiety of what he was about to see, but because of a strange sensation. Maybe this is the effect of some form of anesthetic they used on him. The being pointed to a bright white star on the screen and informed Kevin that this was his home. That was Earth. Kevin was far from home.
So he did get sucked off.
Yeah!
The creature began to speak to him about space, star systems and the like. But Kevin was in shock at this point, so the details from this conversation are extremely hazy. The beings would then invite Kevin to go on a trip with them, but they didn't mention where, or if they did, Kevin doesn't recall. He decided to decline the offer, though, and was told that because he was declining the offer, he would have to forget what he has witnessed and been told. He was given a clear glass with a yellow liquid inside it and told to drink all of it. It was explained to him that drinking it would make him forget and that this was for his own good. Kevin was wily though. He didn't want to forget everything. So he took three large mouthfuls and put the glass down on a table, leaving some of the liquid in the bottom. The next thing he knew, Kevin awoke at the side of the road before getting on his bike and returning to the cabin, just like I mentioned earlier.
Eva, these creatures are stupid, or they're too trusting, which makes them in turn stupid. As if they would...
You need to drink every drop of this.
And we're just going to turn our backs now and wait. We might be watching. Yes. Keep drinking. Good. Excellent. Okay. Let's go.
I'm drunk it all.
Because Kevin had such a wonderful, convincing and commanding voice, he never questioned it.
I'll drink every last drop.
Honourable and trustworthy.
Mm-hmm. And the grey / grasshopper people... Which ones was it at this point?
Wasn't the grasshopper people.
So maybe these are like super advanced ant-like civilizations where you've got the worker greys who look more like grasshoppers and then the scientist greys or diplomat greys, I don't know, who have developed to not have the same physical prowess.
Could be. Soldiers and scientists.
Mm. You're born into destiny. You have no choice.
When Kevin's friends arrived the following day, Kevin never mentioned this to anyone. And apart from mentioning it in a letter to one of these friends 10 years later, Kevin wouldn't mention it for 13 years until on the 8th of July 2000, he took it to Martin Jasek. And now we bring it here. This is the part of the probe where we turn to science and skepticism. There really isn't much here, but we do have that letter to look at. The letter sent to Kevin's friend 10 years after the fact. It was investigated by Jasek, and the letter and Kevin's story do match up. Jasek's investigation into Kevin himself led Jasek to believe that Kevin was both honourable and trustworthy.
Yeah.
And believed that nothing that was said by Kevin would lead him to question his credibility.
Honourable and trustworthy, see?
So to summarise...
Was the letter ever tested for validity?
How so?
Was it aged... To know that it was written when he said it was written? Was it in the right handwriting? Was the friend questioned about receiving the letter?
Not sure on one and two. Yes on three.
Okay.
Because he went to visit the friend and read the letter. Just take Kevin's word.
I don't know if this makes us bad friends, but none of our social group have ever written a letter to others in the social group.
And you write a text message.
Well, I suppose. Yeah, maybe this is old times communication, mm-hmm. I guess. Wait, what year was it again?
87.
1987.
Yep.
Well, when we haven't had phones, we haven't written letters to each other.
No. Because we saw each other at school.
I don't know.
Or literally just walked and knocked on your door. The amount of times I put my headphones on and walked that like 20-minute walk.
Yeah.
Knock on the door. You're not there. Go home. You literally get to your house 5 minutes after I left. Good exercise, though.
Ah, the world was a different place.
So to summarise, we have the story of Kevin, a moose hunter who decided to go on a 3-day hunting trip. En route to his cabin, it absolutely pissed it down, soaking him to the bone. He stopped at a friend's and changed his clothes to continue his trip. Once he arrived, it was pretty late, so he got something to eat and chilled out before going to sleep. Once he awoke, he packed up his hunting gear, hopped on his bike and headed out. Whilst riding down the road, he soon got an eerie feeling. As his attention turned amongst the trees, something caught his eye, but it wasn't anything major. He pulled his bike over and walked into some foliage to relieve himself. This is when he saw the object. His penis.
It was massive.
At first, he thought it was a plane,
his
but
penis.
It soon became apparent that wasn't the case.
It was his penis.
He returned to get his camera from his gear and headed back to the scene. For some unknown reason, he didn't take any pictures, but just stared.
Yeah, that's weird.
It became apparent to Kevin that he shouldn't be there, so he ducked down into the long grass and started to crawl back to his bike. His slow, silent crawl was then interrupted by a loud metallic thud from behind him. Kevin legged it. Made it to the road, hoping to see some other vehicle or people, but instead he ran straight into two grasshopper people in tight blue suits. One of which pointed a flashlight looking device at him and shot a bright light at him. This put him into a state of nothingness, just pitch blackness with no sound. When Kevin came to, he was standing on the opposite side of the road to his bike. Clearly confused and shaken, he rushed to his bike after realizing that a significant amount of time had passed and rode back to his trailer. Once there, he tried to piece together what had happened but was interrupted by a light humming sound and vibrations through the trailer. Kevin knew that the grasshopper people were back, so he hid, waiting until daylight. During this time, he attempted to stay awake, and this would lead him to have flashbacks from what happened earlier. From feeling paralyzed, the sensation of floating, seeing blackness, which was actually the eye of a grey who was in front of him. And they told him they'd operated on him and then invited him to have a look at Earth from their location. They then offered to take him on a trip, but he declined. Upon declining, he was told he'd have to forget everything, and they gave him a glass of yellow liquid to drink. Kevin was sneaky and didn't drink it all. Next thing you knew, he was stood on the opposite side of the road to his motorcycle. So, Greybeard, do you believe that this is a case of aliens? Alien grasshoppers? Grasshopper greys? Or is Kevin hopping mad?
Do we know...
Is he mad?
Do we know for definite that Kevin existed and that Martin Jacek didn't make it up for a book?
That we do not know. However, I am going to let you in on one little fact here.
Right.
I actually didn't change the name to Kevin. It was Kevin.
Well, yeah. You didn't insult Kevin as much as I'd expect if you had have done that. Other than saying he had a tiny penis, but we proved that was wrong.
Is it an insult or is it factual? Have you seen Kevin's penis?
And we don't know whether illicit substances were involved. This was a holiday, so you'd assume that good times were rolling. They were out doing a bit of hunting, then a bit of fishing. And I know of people who go fishing and do exactly that when they're fishing.
Mm-hmm. We don't know if he, for example, if he was out in the wild and cooking with mushrooms. I used to say the wrong mushrooms weren't picked.
I mean, regardless, I'm not going to be saying that it's aliens because we don't have any actual evidence. Yeah, I suppose what I'm struggling to determine is A, whether Kevin definitely existed. You'd expect some photos or whatever, something to verify that. And B, if he did exist, whether Kevin is bullshitting. Presumably there wasn't a particularly big financial gain from this.
So is Kevin having a laugh, or does Kevin believe this did happen, but actually it was related to illicit substances or neurological activity, for example? I reckon it was Martin.
So you think it's aliens? Cool.
I didn't even say that.
I don't think it was aliens either. And what sways me in that direction, not anything that you just said, it's the fact that you had a camera to take pictures and you didn't. I just don't get that. Okay, he didn't take pictures of the ship or anything then, but you know where that ship was. You could have gone back and investigated to see if there was any markings in the ground of where the ship landed.
Mm-hmm.
And that could help verify your story. And none of that did.
Absolutely.
So for me, I cannot, on the grounds of lack of
edibles.
Probably an array of edibles, but a lack of evidence, I cannot say this is aliens.
Yeah, and just to elaborate a little bit further on that, when we get a really juicy case, there's photos of all the people involved, all the investigations, potentially markings in the floor or whatever, photos of the area. There just isn't anything here, which suggests to me it might have just been done for a book, as we said.
Yeah. So, thank you for joining us for this week's probe. You can find us on most socials at But It Was Aliens. That's Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We also have our Facebook group called
Extraterrestrial Towers. Yeah.
And we're also on Patreon.
.com/
But It Was Aliens, where we probe things outside of the extraterrestrial. Ghosts, pirates, sassy pegs,
sticking
and
in a butt.
Much more. Remember, the truth is up there. #.
Probe.